Yes.
We say Nekaimet Nikmasenu, right?
Yeah.
Once you have Nekaimet Nikmasenu, it includes everything else. Right?
I don't know.
If I say to the person, take care of my trouble, I don't have to start rapping and go to Milo's and all this. It's inconclusive.
Okay, Rabbi Sai, let us begin. Let us begin. Okay, let's talk about some inyanim Chanukah. The first thing we want to talk about is, what do you light Chanukah candles? I mean, a person who's traveling, a person who go to a Chanukah party, or a person is traveling. You're traveling on business or wherever you go. You're traveling. A person, let's say, you're going to Eretz Yisrael. A person plans to go to Eretz Yisrael. He went yesterday. Not Ezra. Dove. So I wanted to ask, what exactly does he do? What do you do with a person if you're going to Eretz Yisrael on Chanukah? Your flight leaves.
So he had to give somebody to be
later. Oh, what did you say?
He's flying, I think, on Chanukah. He doesn't have a chance to do it.
So let's make believe his flight is 11 o'clock. His flight is 11 o'clock. Okay, his flight was 9 o'clock. Let's say your flight is 9 o'clock. And you have to be at 6 o'clock. Okay, so that's not so bad. That he's able to do. He was able then to light at his home at the Zman. The Zman is, let's say, 4:20, make believe. And he'll stick around until, let's say, 5 o'clock or 5:30. And then you leave right after, you blow out the candles, you're done.
I came from Rabbi Friend, I went to look after, I listened to it, I said, this can't be recent. He said, I'm sure if you ask the stewardess to let you light on the plane.
I'm sure.
I went to look on the tape, I pulled out the tape, and I wanted to see, it said 1991.
I'm sure they'll let you light on the plane. Very interesting.
That's what he
said. I'm sure if they'll let you go into the light in the cockpit.
Years ago, in like 2004, they used to light in the shul.
No, that's not valid. There's no way.
I was on Olympic Airlines. The Greek Orthodox have a tradition. They come to Yerushalayim, they light a candle, and they fly back to Greece with it. And the whole plane was full with old ladies in little metal containers holding a lit
plane. Lit candles?
A lit plane in a container. Olympic Airlines was the only airline that had it. I was sitting on it.
Fascinating. Okay, let's discuss this. So where do you like? So Heshi, I'm not chas v'shalom trying to make any trouble over here. Heshi said, so let's say for argument, let's say your flight, let's say, is at 5 o'clock. There are flights at 5 o'clock. I'm sure there must be some flights at 5 o'clock. Let's see, wherever you're going, you the flight is 5 o'clock. If your flight is five, plane is leaving at 5 o'clock. You have to be at the airport for sure by 3 o'clock. So if you're 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock is too early to light candles l'chol hadayas. You cannot light. We'll discuss in a few minutes plag mincha. Okay, we'll discuss that in a moment. But right now, you already have to be at the airport. When you're leaving your home, it is before the earliest zman you can possibly light Chanukah candles. You're leaving your home. You then enter into a situation where you cannot light. You cannot light. You're either in the taxi on the way to the airport. You're at the airport. You're on the plane. And the plane is flying through the entire Zman. The next time you'll go and you'll come out of the plane, you'll reach a place where you can relax. It'll be already the next day. It'll be way past Alois HaShachar the next day. So you are totally in a situation where you are blocked out of time. You're on the move. So someone will say, as she said, so listen, you're in the airport. There's a lot of downtime in the airport. It can't be that in the airport when you're waiting, I'm sure all the askanim will work out with the airport. There'll be a designated area where you can light candles. And there's not a designated area. You can go take a little tea light and you'll make a bracha and you light a little tea light and sit and watch it for half an hour. You only need to have one there. So you don't even really need a shamish. Well, no one's watching. You'll sit down there in the waiting room. You'll get arrested for lighting a tea light. You cannot smoke in the airport. You can't. I mean, you can't smoke. That you can't do. But if you would light a tea light, someone would arrest you. Can't make a fire. Mamish nothing. Okay, so you can't even. So, but let's say we would work out. let's say halachically will be permissible. If it will be permissible, I am certain, I'm not certain of anything, but let's say the chaplain, the airport, they have a shul. You go to the shul, they probably, I don't know what they... They'll go and they'll work out with the askanim, a little corner in the airport. They'll let you go and light a Hanukkah candle. But it's not done. Why not? How come you don't see anyone going and working out with the airport, a little teeny corner in the airport for all the firm people who fly to Eretz Yisrael? They can light the Hanukkah candles while they're waiting to board. The answer is there's a condition that must be met, and there's no negotiations here. It must be met. You have to light in your bias. That is the rule. That is the yisoid of Hanukkah candles. Ner ish ubeisoy. You have to define, is this my bias? And the answer is it's not. A plane is not your bias. A airport is not your bias. A taxi is not your bias. The only place where you yoytze the mitzvah d'rabban of lighting Hanukkah candles is in your bias.
How about a hotel?
So a hotel technically is your bias because you're renting it. So you're making a very good point. A hotel technically is your bias. Now, however, okay, well, let's go one thing at a time. We're going to get to the hotel. Let's just one thing at a time. So the airport is not your bias. If it's not your bias, and there's no way you can rent space in the hotel, doesn't work like that, and traveling, so you can't. Anyone that tells you the lighting in the airport, what? What are you talking about? There's no such thing. You have to light in the place that's called your bias. What is called your bias? You sleep primarily means you sleep there. Now eating is also called bias. Eating, if you can somehow connect it to sleeping. Okay, let's put aside eating for a moment. Generally, it's a private place that you consider your home. Let's not even talk about sleeping or eating. An airport and all these traveling stops is not called your bias. So what then would be the solution? The solution would be, in this case, is do you have anyone that is remaining at home for you? Is there anyone remaining home? Is your wife remaining home? Are your children remaining home? If they are, you appoint them to be your agent. They're your agent to light on your behalf.
So leave it home, don't take it.
So now let's say, so if your wife is not traveling with you, if your children are traveling you, so they have to light in your home, not in their home. So if your wife is staying home, so then your wife, she lights candles, and she has in mind, kavana, that the lighting of these candles is for her husband, because this is her husband's home, and the mitzvah is to light in your home, and this is his home. Right now, he happens to be traveling.
Even in a different time zone?
Well, right now, let's assume it's simple. Our example, right? Let's a simple case. Right now, it's 3 o'clock. You're leaving to the airport 3 o'clock. Your plane is not leaving until 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. So you are still right now in America. You're still over here. Where are you located? I'm located in this time zone, and my home is where I live, and my wife is lighting the menorah on my behalf. Let's say your wife and children, your wife is coming with you. So you have children who live, let's say have married children or whatever, they're not living at home. They can't light for you in their home because that's not where you live. That's not called your home. It has to be lit in your home. Children pointing in ageless, I'm traveling. I have a child who lives in Lakewood, a child who lives in Far Rockaway, a child who lives in Florida. I'm traveling. I can't light. So, well, you know, you're in Florida. When you light in your house, you have kavan to be might see me. Ridiculous. I don't live in Florida. I don't live in Lakewood. I don't live in Far Rockaway. I live in Brooklyn. And there's no one at home in Brooklyn. It's not, then my home is Brooklyn. That's where my home is. And it's not a solution to appoint an agent. What is a solution is give your neighbor the keys to your home. It's not a joke. Give them the keys to your home and tell them to come into your home at 4:20 or whatever in the early Zman. And they should light the menorah on your behalf. They should light the menorah on your behalf. It'll be a whole big show with the bracha. What do the bracha? So the best thing would be is that they should light the menorah with the bracha in their home and make a bracha. And immediately, like B'dikas Chametz, you go check all of your homes. Person has, I'm in Florida, home in Eretz. You do B'dik in one house and you go get on a plane and go do B'dik in all of your homes. Okay, you're just joking. But you go, you tell your neighbor, light in your, and then here are the keys to my house. Come into my house. Don't burn it down. okay? And then make a bracha and light in my home for me, because it's my home. And you will be my agent to light the Ner Chanukah in my home. That would be a very good solution to do. Now, let's say that cannot be done. You don't have a there's no solution. There's basically, in this type of situation where you leave, where you're leaving on an airplane at 3 o'clock, leaving on an airplane 5 o'clock, and you're at the airport already at 3 o'clock, there's really almost no solution. If you can't get someone to go into your home and light for you, I don't know what the solution is. It doesn't seem, the Poskim don't seem to have a solution. What?
Once a certain place in that they said that she
owned a plane. Yeah. Yeah, but the plane is not your home.
It's like a hotel.
A hotel, you're renting the space. You're renting here, renting a seat is not renting a place to live. A plane, you don't put a mezuzah on an airplane. A plane is a vehicle. Yeah, but a hotel is a residence. It's a place where you sleep and where you eat. The meals they serve you on the plane. These are not called. Okay, so it's better than nothing. Obviously, you don't want to forget. You don't want to forget the zecher of Chanukah. You don't want to forget the inyan of Chanukah. So you do the best you can. So you take a flashlight with an incandescent bulb, if you can get one of those still, and has a battery. So the battery is the fuel, and the bulb is the ner with the filament. That's the psila, and you turn on the flashlight. L'shem mitzvah Chanukah. But are you really being mekayim? You can't make a bracha for sure not. You can't make a bracha. So what are you really accomplishing? A zeicher for Chanukah. It's a very big problem. So, I mean, you can't. The really ideal thing is to try to get someone to come to your house. If you can't do that, so I would imagine the next best thing is you tell someone, I want to rent space in your house. I want to be a resident. I want my bias to be your home. You have a neighbor? I'm giving you a dollar. A dollar? This is not being mishtati beprute. That's a different case. I want to rent space in your home. I want your home to be my home. This is where I want to live. No, Shabbos, that becomes your home. If you're going away, every person has to sleep somewhere. So we'll cut to that second. It's in the case in a second. Let's first finish up this case. If you're traveling during the entire period where you're not going to have a home, you're on the move from 3 o'clock until the next morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, and you don't come to a place where you have a home, you got a big problem. So the solution again is, if you have someone that's remaining in your home, they should light for you. If not, they should come into your home and light for you in your home. If not, it would seem a solution would be is to rent space in your neighbor's home. You have a neighbor, I want to be a resident of your bias. I want your home to be my home. I'm a resident in your home. I'm giving over myself to be a member of your family. And now, I'm traveling, so do me a favor that when you light your Chanukah candles, have in mind they should go for me as well. Now, that doesn't work if it's not your home. You have to make it into your home. How do you make it into your home? By renting space in this home. So you give them a token, a few dollars, to become a resident, and then in addition, by the way, you give him another pruta. There's a principle of yemishtatef in his ner Chanukah by paying for a fraction of the oil, and then his candle lighting is considered to be your candle lighting. Now the case appears to be somewhat rare. It's not so common that this shiloh will really happen. This should be my mokoyim? Wherever you are, in the airport? The airport is not your home. On the airplane? What? By a friend. A friend, you have to rent space. You have to rent space.
You go to a homeless guy who has a box. And you light it in there. If you light the box,
you have to become a resident of someone else, and then they will either light a separate Chanukah menorah for you, or you give them a what's called a pruta, one pruta, One prut is enough for the entire Hanukkah, by the way, for all 8 days. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And you become a partner with him. When he lights, he's lighting for you as well. Now, the case is not common, because usually, when people travel, there is a period of time during this long range between 4:20 in the afternoon and Alois HaShachar, dawn, which, what time is dawn? What time is dawn now? 5 o'clock? I don't know exactly what time dawn now. 6 o'clock now? They changed the clock? 6:05. Usually between 4:20 and 6:05, you can find yourself in a location where you consider it to be your residence for half an hour, and you light the candles, and you need two people to be present when you light the candles for you to make the bracha. If you only have one person, the Mishnah Berurah says of one person, and it's not one person, and it's not one person. So that's a big shail if one person is really enough to make the bracha. Yes, it has to be a Jew. Yes, it has to be a Jew. The shail of presuming needs a Jew or goy. Lechatchila has to be a Jew. So you need at least, lechatchila should have at least two people. To bring out the point, we're going to have many different shas. Let's bring another very interesting question. This is a more common case. A chasan kala. A wedding. Anyone have a wedding this week?
Last night, Krohn got married.
Krohn. So what are the... Pesach Krohn's grandson got married. So what did the chasan kala do? They had to be there for pictures for the makeup artist. They had to be there at 2 o'clock in the wedding hall for pictures. So the guests don't really have a problem, because no wedding today starts until at least 6 o'clock. Okay, people come at 8 o'clock, right? So 6 o'clock. So you can light candles already at 4:20. You can light candles.
Can't you do that at the hall?
No, no way. You don't live at the hall. That's not your bias. I'm not my bias. Just because I go and I eat from the smorgasbord, I have some food, that doesn't make it my bias. No way. A hall is not your home. So what? So a regular guest doesn't really have a problem, because a regular guest can easily light Hanukkah candles at 4:20, and then can go later to the wedding, can sit at home for half an hour. And if he's coming from work, anyway, that's a shiloh, what you do when you work and you're coming home late. Okay, but let's put that aside for now. So the guests usually can find a solution. But what about the immediate family? The immediate family, especially the chasan kala, and for that matter, their parents and their siblings, usually have to be at the wedding hall early. They have to be there already at 2 o'clock. They're ready. Okay, so then you're not at home for the entire until much later. So the truth is, what appears to be, after everything cut to the chase, what appears to be the solution that eventually everyone's going to have to rely upon at the end of the day is that the chasan and kala will light Hanukkah candles when they come home, 2 o'clock in the morning. 2 o'clock in the morning. That's really the solution. Oh, but you're going to tell me, but how were they allowed to have a meal? Yeah, you're not allowed to eat. L'chatchila, a person should not eat until he lights Hanukkah candles. Certainly not eat a meal. So that's not, that halach is not etched in stone that you're not allowed to eat. It's not a din d'oraisa, you're not allowed to eat. If you appoint someone to make a reminder, you appoint a person, you designate a person to tell you, a shomer, because the reason why you're not supposed to eat primarily is because you shouldn't forget. You're going to get involved in eating and you're going to fall asleep. So if you go and you appoint a shomer guardian to make sure it's this designated purpose to tell you, to remind you to light Hanukkah candles, it's not ideal. No one's going to tell you that it's an ideal thing to do, because you're still eating. There are other inyanim that you shouldn't really do before you eat, but you really don't have a choice in this case. And it would appear that the solution would be that the chasan and kala, they should, of course, when they set up their home, they should set up wherever they're going to be, mitzvah Shabbos, after the wedding, wherever they're going to be after the wedding, they should make sure they have a menorah, and they have whatever they're going to light. They have oil and wicks or whatever, and a match also, right? Now, if the chasan and kala are going to a hotel, they're in a lot of trouble. Okay, a lot of chasanim, when at the first night of the wedding, the first night they go to a hotel. Hotel, you're not allowed. You're not allowed to light a candle in the room. Okay, this is illegal. It is illegal. So you're going to get a difference of opinion among poskim. What happens if you do something illegal? Is it a bracha levatala? Two, listen. Don't ask, don't tell. Okay? The poskim that are responsible will tell you that it's a bracha levatala. Okay? I've heard this from poskim. The bottom line is, if you own the hotel, you wouldn't want people lighting candles in the hotel. You don't go tell me, oh yeah, you know, there are certain, you have to also appreciate there are certain laws that people don't observe. That people just don't observe. There are certain laws in New York City, like, you know, when they I'm not trying to say is you know, you have to wear, now they recommend wearing a mask, but during a very significant period of time during COVID, there was a law, if I'm not mistaken, that on the subway, you have to wear a mask. You have to wear a mask. Yeah. Problem was, there was not even one police officer in the entire city, forget about enforcing it, themselves wearing a mask.
Right.
Okay, for the vast majority of this period, the police, they had this macho attitude, we don't need masks. So if the police officer is not wearing a mask, how could he enforce someone to wear a mask? How? Okay, so then, and even when they rescinded, they said there was anyway, no one's following. So what does that mean exactly? That's a horrible thing when you have a law, no one follows the law. So don't. That's not an answer. That's not an answer when it comes to lighting candles in a hotel room. That's a serious matter. That's a serious matter where there are stiff lines. So therefore, if a chassan kal are going to go to a hotel at night, they got a big problem. Because first of all, they do not have a home anywhere from the time of 2 o'clock in the afternoon from when they go to take pictures, their entire Zman. When they go to a place where they can call their home because they're renting, it is illegal for them to illegal for them to light candles. So then it can be considered what would you want to say, mitzvah babi avera. How would you technically define the violation? You're not allowed to be doing this. It's a sakana. It's illegal. You've agreed when you signed the rules of going into the hotel. You've signed that you're not going to do this. So I don't know how you want to define in halacha, but a mitzvah be'avera, whatever. It's not to be done. So the solution would be the chassan kala, they should not go to a hotel. Chassan kala, if they're very serious, they want to get the marriage off.
No, what he just questioned is if the chuppah is their home, so they can light it.
So that's another solution. Is that it's not an ideal solution. But let's get. So what would be the ideal thing for chassan kala to do? It would be that they should not go to a hotel the first night of their wedding. They go the second night. The first night, what? The yichud room, the yichud room. So you're suggesting now that they should rent, they rent the yichud room. So it's not a home. They're not sleeping there. It's not, you're renting it for a couple of minutes. It's ner ish ubesa. It's brought down this solution, is they should rent, they anyway, technically speaking, are supposed to, the chassan is supposed to anyway receive the chuppah as his rishos, right? It's his rishos, the chuppah. So, because he's supposed to take the kala into his domain, into his rishos. So technically speaking, either it's in the contract or it's self-understood, is that when they get married, when you rent the hall from the caterer, that the caterer automatically is giving over to the chassan the chuppah for the duration of the chuppah. It's his rishus. So when the kala comes in there, he's coming into his rishus. The same thing is the yichud room. Yichud room is not chuppah. That's just a matter of, it does not have to be your rishus. So go the extra mile and pay the caterer, whoever owns the facility, a couple of dollars to actually own the yichud room. To rent the yichud room, then it becomes their rishus, and they're having their having a meal, they're eating something there in the yichud room, so then they can light candles in that room.
Do the candles have to last 30 minutes?
Yes, they do, under all conditions.
They don't have to be there.
They don't have to be there. They have to just light the candles. So maybe you'll go tell me that in the wedding hall, who said the wedding hall, they all have all candles lit on all the tables. Okay, you don't go tell me you can't light candles in the wedding hall, because every wedding, you go down the chuppah holding a candle, right?
If someone is watching it, the yichud room, no one would be watching the candle.
You're not someone watching the candle. You have light the candles. You light tea lights. The tea lights, and you go out. You don't have to. Something's whatever. You do it for safety. Okay, so that could be worked out. The safety can be worked out. Yeah.
The Lubavitch solution. You get a camper. You park in front of the hall.
To say that the yichud room is called a bias, here Abayisai, to say that the yichud room is called your bias is a little bit of a stretch, because you're just going in there for 9 minutes, and you're eating a little snack, and to say that's your bias, to make a bracha, Asher Kiddushon, to make two brachas, okay, to make two brachas, which will be a bracha levatala. In the Iker Yisoid, this is critical. In order to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, the candles have to be lit in your bias. And it's a very big struggle to define what is your bias when you're Nishtahi Nishtaher. When you're a traveler, what's my bias? Well, my bias is where I live. Does it have to be where my destination? Not necessarily. Right now, this is where I happen. I mean, you're allowed to travel. You're allowed to go out of your house to go daven Ma'ariv. You don't have to be in your house every single second of the day. If this is my bias, so I'm shy. It would appear a possible solution is to go and hire someone to go into your apartment where the Chos and Kala are going to live. They're going to eventually live. And to light the candles there during this, after they get married. Because, by the way, if the kala is in a very difficult situation, because the kala, who's being moitzi the kala? Is the kala a family member of her father, or is the kala part of her husband? So at 4 o'clock, at 4:20 is when the zman begins. 4:20, they're not yet married. So what is the kala's father doing? So the kala's father likely is going to light. Same thing is either asking someone at home to light for them. Maybe one of the kids is not coming to the wedding until later on. Someone's not coming until 6 o'clock. Maybe there's someone still at home at 4 o'clock, 4:20. So someone at home will light the Hanukkah candles for the parents. So once they're lighting for the parents, that includes the kala, because that's still her home. Until she gets married, she's still a member of her father's home. Or the kala bedavka does not want to be yotze with the candle lighting of her parents. She wants to be yotze with the candle lighting of her husband. It would be a nice way to start off the marriage that way, where the kala, on the day of her wedding, wants to be yotze the Chanukah candles with her husband. Ner ish ubeisai. What is marriage about if not ner ish ubeisai? So even though maybe someone in her parents' home is lighting candles, her chassan has to light on his own. A chassan is not a member of his parents' home. I mean, you can go argue that way also. Maybe someone maybe he's not yet married. We'll get that in a second. But let's say they both of them do not want to be yotze with anyone else but themselves. So when they're going to light, they're going to light when they come home to their apartment at 2 o'clock in the morning. That would be a possible solution. He would make a bracha. The reason why he would make a bracha is because his wife, hopefully, is still awake. She's there, and she's going to see it. You'll say you need two people. You need two people to see it. For some reason over here, the poskim say, in this case, I don't know why exactly, this case, one is enough. One is enough, you could be lenient, one of them, they come home to their apartment, so the kala is there, the chassan lights, and the yotze, the mitzvah of Hanukkah, when the chassan lights candles 2 o'clock in the morning when they reach their apartment. If they're going to a hotel, it's a big problem, because in the hotel you're not allowed to light candles, and therefore it may be a mitzvah b'avera, so you have a very serious problem. So the next best thing would be, is they should ask somebody to light for them after they get married. Let's say they're getting married, let's say at 7:30. Mm-hmm. So have someone, just to be sure, they should light for them at 8 o'clock, where? In their apartment, where they will ultimately, we're assuming that they have an apartment. They have an apartment. They set up an apartment where they're going to live. No, they're not coming home tonight. No, so tonight they're going to a hotel. But tomorrow, they're going to be there. This is their home. Someone should light for them at 8 o'clock, not bizman, because that zman, they're not yet married. And during the zman at 4:20, they're not yet married. They're first going to be married at 8 o'clock. So someone should light for them in their apartment at 8 o'clock. It's not ideal, because ideally, mitzvah bo yoyse b'beshluchoy, especially when it comes to Chanukah. Chanukah is a mitzvah of persume nisa. There's more of an need to do it yourself. Someone lighting for you is not an ideal situation. But if they're going to a hotel, then they're not going to be able to light there. If they have an apartment, they set up an apartment. Someone should light for them in their apartment. And they'll be yoyse the mitzvah. maybe you want to suggest is that, well, who's lighting for their parents? What's the chosen's parents doing? What is the kala's parents doing? So if the chosen's parents and the kala's parents are first going to light candles when they come home at 2 o'clock in the morning, that's not going to be a solution for the chosen and the kala. Because once the chosen and kala are married, they have their own bias and they cannot be, they're no longer part of the bias of their parents. But if the chosen's parents and the kala's parents are having someone light on their behalf, let's say the chosen's parents, they have to be at the wedding hall at 2 o'clock. But who's going to be at the wedding hall at 2 o'clock? Only the parents, maybe some of the siblings, someone at, and there are some siblings, there are people that are still going to be at home, and they're going to be at home until 5 o'clock. If the wedding is local, so they'll be home until 5 o'clock. So then whoever is at home will light on behalf of the Rosh HaBayis, which means for the chosen and for the kala, because they're not yet married. Their marriage is taking place at 8 o'clock, so until 8 o'clock, they're still members of their parents' home.
The solution would be for them to sleep in the morning of their parents' home?
To go back home and sleep in their parents' home? No. No, no. I mean, then they can light on their own already. If they're going anyway to... But it's not their home. It all goes back to one yesod. Where is your home? Where is your home? Where is home of the chosen kala? At this moment in time, I'm not yet married. So my home is, I'm by my parents. I'm not yet married. Once you're married, your home is not your parents anymore. Now you need, where's your home? Oh, my home. Well, going to a hotel tonight. Well, that's not cool. You can't light there. So where is your real home? We have an apartment. We have an apartment. But we're not going there. So let someone be your agent to light on your behalf in your home. It has to be lit in your home. That is the yesod. And Chos and Kal, it would be obviously the best thing is they should not go to a hotel and they should go to their apartment, wherever they're going. And then when they come home at 2 o'clock in the morning, they can light then. Oh, but they didn't. They ate a whole Suda. No, so there's no, that's life. There's no perfect solution to anything. To light in the wedding hall is not a solution. You want to say they're going to rent space from the wedding hall and it's going to be called theirs. That's a joke. I mean, not a joke. It's a home is a place where you sleep, a place where you eat. It's a place you call your own. A wedding hall is not. You're gonna rent it to be called your own. It's not really called your own. And the place can don't seem to say that's much of a solution. Now, Mr. Mullis, you asked a question. Let's say you go away for Shabbos. Parents, children. Let's say children. They get married. And now they come to their for Shabbos Chanukah to the parents' home. Well, where are you planning to stay for Shabbos? I'm planning to stay, of course, by my parents and by my in-laws. So this is now your home. If you're going to sleep here and you're going to eat here, of course you can light here. Friday afternoon, you arrive at your parents or your in-laws Friday afternoon. This is my home. This has become my home for Shabbos. The proof is I'm going to sleep here and I'm going to eat here. This is my residence. This is my residence. Okay, every case is different. We'll get to that in a second. Now, what about here is another question. This is a tough question. Mitzvah Shabbos. Mitzvah Shabbos. Shabbos is over, and now we're going home tonight. We're not going home tomorrow morning. I cannot spend one more moment with the shviga than necessary. We are out of here. We're out of here. We're going on Mitzoy Shabbos. So where should you light? Where should you light Chanukah candles when you're leaving Mitzoy Shabbos? So it all depends. If you're leaving Mamish immediately, not a second to breathe, then you should wait until you get home. You get home, unload your luggage. We're home now. Let's light. Have a little Malava Malka. And you go to sleep. Let's say you're not going home so fast. We're having over here a little Chanukah party here. My parents, my in-laws, they're going to give out some gifts to the kinderlach. We ain't going so fast. We're not going until we get a check. We're not going so fast here. Okay, the mother-in-law says, I want you to suffer. So then you have to stick around. Then you got to stick around a little bit. You have to make it into your home. By making it into a means...
You have to smile.
You have to spend some time, some significant time. Since you have to basically say that since you slept here on Shabbos, and now you're going to stay around for Su'udas Malava Malka, You're going to spend a significant amount of time in this home, and then you leave to go home to go to sleep. You can consider this time as an extension of the sleeping you've done last night. Since I slept here last night, I did sleep here, and I'm not leaving. I'm eating here also tonight. That's pretty good. This can then halachically be considered, it can still be considered your home. Oh, but after you light Hanukkah candles and an hour from now you're going home to a new place to sleep. Okay, so I changed homes. But when I lit my Hanukkah candles, this is my home. I'll prove it to you. I slept. What? No, what? At home, no, you don't do that. No, it's not totally done this. This is called your home. If I slept here last night and I'm going to eat a meal here at night, for sure it's called your home. The big question, like Mr. Marilla said, is where during the Iker Zman of lighting Hanukkah candles, you're not home, but you will be going home at 11 o'clock to your home. Let's say you have a Hanukkah party and it's somewhere far away, and you leave 4 o'clock to get through traffic in order to get to the Hanukkah party. I have to leave Brooklyn. I have to go to Lakewood, and we have to be there by 6 o'clock, whatever it is. So I'm leaving Brooklyn at 4 o'clock.
Too late.
Okay, so 4 o'clock is after Plag Mincha. That's another shayla. But let's say you're leaving here during a Zman where you can't light candles. You're leaving here, let's say, 3:30, whatever the reason is. You're leaving at 3:30. And you're going to a Hanukkah party in Lakewood, and you're going to be leaving Lakewood, let's say, or you're going to a wedding in Lakewood. Okay, you want to be there early. You have a very close friends, very close people, and you want to be there for the chuppah, and you have to leave Brooklyn at 4 o'clock. Okay, you got to leave in order to get there early for a relative's wedding. You have to leave, but you're coming home. You're coming home, you'll be home at about 11 o'clock. You'll be home at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, you'll be home. So what do you do now? So we said before, so the solution would be, I mean, it's not a nice thing to do, is to ask, is someone at home should light for you? But that's painful for many people. They've never missed their whole life making a bracha on the Hanukkah candles. If you haven't missed in 50 years making a bracha on the Hanukkah candles, you don't want tonight to be the first night that you can not make the brachas yourself. So you can make the brachas and you come home. I'm going to be eating. I'm going to be eating before I'm going to light Hanukkah candles. You have to appoint a guardian, a shomer, to remind you to light the Hanukkah candles. And you have to make sure that lechatchila you should have at least two people at home watching you light Hanukkah candles. Now, is that, or should you light where you're eating? I'm eating. Let's say you're going to your children. It would seem not. If you're going to eat, going to a Hanukkah party by your children, you're going to light where you. That doesn't seem to be the correct thing to do. Is to light the Hanukkah candles where you're having a Hanukkah party, even if you have a room there. It's your children or it's your in-laws. The solution would be either is basically to wait until if to come late. To light where you live and stick around and just basically light. All you have to do is light the candles at 4:20, sunset. You light the candles at 4:20, and that's it, you can go. Now here's the big shayla. What about lighting what's called plag mincha? This is a very big machlokes apayskim. And that is, we know that on Friday, everyone knows that on Shabbos, Friday, it is impossible to light candles after the Zman. What is the Zman, the Iker Zman to light Hanukkah candles? So this big topic in and of itself. But generally, the earliest Zman is sunset. The earliest Zman to light Hanukkah candles is sunset. And there are many different opinions of when is the Zman. Some say it's sunset. Some will tell you that it's 10 minutes after sunset. Some tell you that it's 20 minutes after sunset. Some will tell you it's 18 minutes after sunset, a half an hour after sunset. There's a whole range of opinions of the ideal moment to light Hanukkah candles. The earliest Zman to light Hanukkah candles is sunset. So what do we do on Friday? On Friday, sunset is Shabbos. You're not allowed to light Shabbos candles. It's Chil Shabbos. So on Friday, we have no choice. We light before sunset. and we just make sure we put enough fuel into the Hanukkah candles that it should light a half an hour after the Zman begins. Now, okay, so Friday I can light early. What is called early? What is called early? What is the earliest Zman you can light? So the halacha is you can light not past Plag Mincha. What is Plag Mincha? 1 hour and 15 minutes before sunset. Okay, so this Friday, let me go look at the Zmanim. On this coming Friday, Habolim L'Toyva, it's going to be the sixth night of Hanukkah, six candles. And what is Plag Mincha? Plag Mincha is either 3:18, an advertisement came up here, 3:18 or 3:20. I'm sorry, Mincha, Plag Mincha is, I'm sorry, what did I say over here? Plag Mincha is 3:34. You cannot light candles before 3:34. Okay, an hour and 15 minutes shows manios before sunset. Sunset is at 4:32 this Friday. So that would be the ideal time to light Hanukkah candles.
But would be 3:17 then,
an hour and 15. Zmanios. We make a calculation. The calculation, we divide the day into 12 parts, and an hour is not 60 minutes. An hour is from sunrise to sunset divided by 12. What?
Yeah, it's about
53
minutes or something.
Right, so an hour and 46 minutes
to the garage,
58 minutes to the mountain. Oh, all right. So we divide the day. So my calendar over here, which shows Manios, Plag Mincha is at either 4:31 or 4:44. There are different ways to calculate the
sunset.
No, sunset is 4:32. I'm sorry. 3:30. Sunset is at 4:32. Is sunset. Okay, 4:32 is sunset. Plag Mincha, 1 hour and 15 minutes of Shol Zmanios, not 75 minutes, but you divide the day into halakhic hours, comes out to 3:34. 3:34 is called Plag Mincha. That is the Zman when they brought the carbon Tomit. Okay, that's the Zman. That is the Zman called Plag Mincha. That's already considered already to be part of the next day to a degree, and that's when is the earliest Zman one can light Chanukah candles this Friday. Now there is a major debate amongst the Poskim if a person is allowed on a regular day because he's traveling to light Chanukah candles after Plag Mincha. Again, the Iker Zman to light Chanukah candles starts with sunset. Many people don't light with sunset. They light later. They light 25 minutes after sunset, 18 minutes after sunset. This is a sugya in and of itself. You want it to be the Zman Tarmudoi. The Gemara says when people are coming home from work in ancient times, when the sun sets, there's still plenty of light outside. And people begin to come home, they begin to prepare dinner. And there's a certain moment of time when there's gridlock traffic from people coming home from work. Gridlock traffic occurs approximately at 25 minutes after sunset, or 18 minutes after sunset. That's when everyone is coming home. That's the sweet spot where you're gonna get a bang for your buck, the most persume nisa possible. That's the Zman to light. Friday, that is impossible. That would be Chil Shabbos to light. We don't do any malacha after sunset. Finished. There's no malacha then after sunset. So you can't light after sunset. So when are you gonna light? So built into I have to light, right? So when Chazal made the mitzvah to light Chanukah candles, built into the mitzvah is that on Friday, you're allowed to light after Plag Mincha. Question, can you take advantage of lighting after Plag Mincha on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, when it's not Erev Shabbos? So there is no answer to this question. There is no answer. And there are some poskim that say that no, they're very makpid. No, this is a leniency that was only enacted Friday. Chanukah candles have to be lit to make a bracha after sunset, or whenever your zman is, but if not before sunset, are you allowed to make a blessing? Because it's not the day. You are intruding upon the day. There's no Tosfos Chanukah. Chanukah is bo bayom, sunset is the earliest man to make the bracha. Therefore, it's only Friday when you don't have a choice. That's when you light early, not during the, and therefore, if you want to light early, nothing doing. If you have no choice, push comes to shove, they will tell you, light your Chanukah candles, but do not make a bracha. Now, that's not an ideal thing to do, because then if you're not making a bracha, you give me yoytze the mitzvah, the whole shayla, hadlaka is the mitzvah, but don't make a bracha. Other poiskim disagree, and I think the other poiskim have won the day, is that the oilam is makel, that if a person really has to travel, if you have a flight to catch, and I can bediyevet, if you'll let me light Chanukah candles today at 3:34, I'll do it. I'll work it out. 3:34 is before sunset. It's an hour and 15 minutes before sunset, but I can work it out. So halacha l'maaseh, we paskin that you can make the bracha at 3:34. I think most poskim, I think of Rav Yashiv, he writes about Rav Yashiv, the oilam is noig to be makel, you can make the bracha, you can light an hour and 15 minutes before. Shosman, of course, Shosman. We said before when we went, now we supposed to put that, and we allow you to make the bracha, and you're okay, you're good to go. So that. Right, it has to last a half an hour after the zman that you would ordinarily light. So if you would ordinarily light 25 minutes after sunset, if that's the sheet that you follow, I light 25 minutes after sunset, so you have to make sure that when you light at 3:34, it's going to last a half an hour after whatever zman, 25 minutes after sunset. Fine. Now, that would be a solution for some people who are making a wedding. A chas and kala, maybe that might be a solution that you can pull that they can light after plag mincha. The chas and light after plag mincha, and the kala light after plag mincha. Or the kala doesn't need, the kala is part of her father. The kala's father is able to light his Chanukah candles. He can go home. Okay, the chas's father doesn't need makeup. He doesn't have to be at the makeup artist. So maybe the chassan's father can very well can be home at 3:34. The wedding is called for 6:00. It's not so far fetched. All right. So then, even the hotel, wherever the hotel, you can't light the candle. Okay, right. It's a very private out of town wedding. You have to put up at someone's house. So the chassan. So therefore, it could very well be that the chassan and even the chassan and kala. Their parents, there are members of their parents' home until they get married. They can light after plag mincha. They'll give them another hour, and it can very well be done. They don't have to rely upon, they don't have to wait until they can light themselves or their parents are lighting. If their parents are lighting, like let's say the chassan is very busy. He has to go to the mikveh, he has to go do all these things he has to go do, and he's not going to be home from 1:00 in the afternoon, he's already gone. But his father's going to be home. His father's not leaving to the wedding until 4:00. So the father can light after plag mincha. And since the chassan is a member of his father's household, he didn't get married yet. He's still a member of that bias. So when the father lights, the father asks kavan, I'm lighting for my son, the chassan. And he's yoytze lechatchila. You're done. Ner ishu beisai. Why are we davening so it shouldn't result in chil Shabbos? There are a few reasons. Number one, why are we davening mincha early on Friday? Why all? Not all. Not everyone is davening mincha early, because you would have to then light. It gives you more time. I think practically speaking, gives you more time to light. You can continue. You can light until sunset. And that way, because if you're going to first, there's a halachic reason. If you're first going to light candles and then daven mincha, so I think the other reason is because if you're still going to daven mincha, so you're in essence saying that the candles that you lit were from yesterday. We're from yesterday. Right, not part of Shabbos. When you're lighting candles, you want to show that the candles that you're lighting are for the next day. It's for the next day. Friday, Shabbos is day 6 of Hanukkah. Friday is day 5. The day is not over until you finish Mincha. So until you finish Mincha, I'm still day 5. If I light 6 candles and then I go daven Mincha, and my Mincha is a weekday Mincha, so it's not yet Shabbos. So it is showing there's a contradiction to the mitzvah. I'm lighting the Chanukah candles in honor of day 6. But afterwards, I make a major statement by saying Hashem's name 19 times, the saying that today is day 5. So that's a contradiction. You're lighting 6 candles and you made a bracha, Asher Kiddushan b'mitzvos v'tzivanu and Sha'asa Nisim, and you made a statement, today is day 6, and then you did something, you davened a mincha, which is a statement that today is day 5. You can't have your cake and eat it. You're on a diet. You can't do that. You can't have both. You can't burn the candle burn a candle from both ends. You can't do that. So if you first daven mincha, oh, have a nice day. Day 5 has now come to an end. And now when I light the Chanukah candles, I am ushering in early day 6. I'm not being Mekabel Shabbos, because then it'll be Chil Shabbos. Hayin l'chud v'hayin l'chud. I'm ushering in day 6. That's one reason why you daven mincha early, because you don't want it to be a contradiction in halacha of making brachas, which are tarte desasre. Number 2, there's a practical reason that is that you shouldn't be rushed. Lighting Chanukah candles, and you're going to miss Mincha. You light Chanukah candles, people want to do it correctly. You want to say a Haneris Halalu and Mosur, and there's always some type of Friday is a very, very intense time, the last minutes. And if you have to run to Mincha, and you have to light your Chanukah candles, it's just a little bit too intense. So there's a practical reason. And then also you're going to have to let the candles burn even longer, because you're first going to Mincha, you have to run to Mincha. And there's the halachic reason of its tarte desastre, a first davening Mincha, a first lighting candles, which is a declaration that the next day already has begun, and then going backwards and davening Mincha, which is a declaration that the day is not yet over. Listen, so contradictions is not so terrible, okay? We all live with contradictions, but people, for some reason, Chanukah, they're very into this. They're very into this contradiction. In their own personal lives, the contradictions are beyond belief. But this, all of a sudden, I don't want to have a contradiction. It's the same thing when it comes to Mitzvah Shabbos. What do you do first? If you light the Chanukah candles before Havdalah, so it's also, if you lit Chanukah candles, so it's not, how are you light Chanukah before Havdalah? But if you make Havdalah, you're delaying the Zman, you want to light it's also a no-win situation. Okay, but going back, how do we get into this? Going back to our Shaila of the Chosan Kala. So this is a very big dilemma. Are you allowed to light candles after Plag Mincha? So some say, Lav Davka Erev Shabbos, Bidyevid, you can do this every single day of the week. You can light after Plag Mincha, just make sure you give it enough oil for it to go all the way until 20, after the time that you would light. That would give the Chosan and Kala an additional hour on the day of their wedding to light Chanukah candles in their home where they've lived their entire life. And that way, they don't have the issue of worrying about this at night, and they're yoytze. Okay, so that would be another solution.
Question.
Yeah.
We've discussed a lot of bidyevitz of what is the halachic obligation to avoid those situations.
You can't generalize.
Could someone say, you know, you're not allowed to fly on the
on Chanukah? You can't generalize because it's not always up to you. A Chosan Kala, first of all, yeah, is a hall available? When can you get a hall? It's not always available to get the hall that you want. And then it's not only your convenience, you have family members, have to travel and this and that. Usually the question doesn't even begin of what is your, don't, we're not getting married Chanukah. Really? Who's paying for the wedding over here? Who's paying for the wedding? What?
I'm going to Israel. I'm going
for
vacation to Israel.
It also, a lot of these things, you're right. A person that, it all depends on, a person that's super sensitive, Chanukah is sacred by them. I know people that will never fly on an airplane, really, where they would have to daven shachris on an airplane. They will never schedule a flight under any condition. They're in control. They're paying for their tickets. They're paying for the whole family. They will take a flight where they will arrange it where they can daven in shul when they get off for shachris, this way for shachris. They cannot tolerate davening shachris on an airplane. This just bothers them to no end. And they will arrange their flight where they will either daven shachris in a shul before they get on the airplane, or they'll daven shachris when they get off the airplane. They'll arrive in enough time when they get in there. But because it means something to them. Most people, it doesn't mean anything to them. You schedule the airplane whenever you want. And then, oh, we got a problem.
So
now,
there's no halakhic obligation to
avoid. It doesn't seem so. It's up to your sensitivity. It, you're right. It does not appear anywhere that you have an obligation not to put yourself in that situation. Because there usually is a b'diavad solution. There usually is. If you're going to tell me you can have a case that you know in advance that there is no solution. The person is traveling, he doesn't have a home. Mamish, he's moving there, he surely gave up his property, he doesn't own a home in America, he has no mamish home, and in his situation, there's no, and he's mamish gonna miss a night of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. Would he have an obligation not to book a flight that night? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know. But usually in every situation, there is a solution, b'diavad, and it appears from what I'm seeing, maybe I'm wrong, is you're not mechuyev. If you want to go to Eretz Yisrael, you have a good reason to go. Someone will tell you they're going to Eretz Yisrael's a mitzvah. Every time you can justify, where are you going? Parnassah. I'm going, my children need me. I need this and this. How often do you have a case where you can't justify what you're doing, that it's not for a tzarech? There's almost always a tzarech. And it's usually, if it's not for you, it's tzarech. You have a wife, you have children, there's always someone else that's part of the equation. So this question doesn't even really show up. People have things they need to do in their life, and they do it. And now, Chanukah. I didn't realize it's Chanukah. What am I going to light Chanukah candles? Okay, now you go to the rabbi. Let's figure out for you a custom solution for this problem. And there are solutions. And if a person really has a sensitivity, it means so much to him, then he'll take care of it. He'll make sure not to fly that day. He will take care of it. But usually people either, it's not up to them, or they're not so sensitive to Chanukah. They're more sensitive to going, doing what they want to do, and many times they're justified. They're justified in what they need to do, and now you need a solution to the Chanukah candles, and there are. Okay, the Ikar Yisod, it comes back to one thing always: where is your home? Define your bias. Define the bias. That's where the Chanukah candles can be lit for you. Either by you, or by your wife for you, or by your children, or hire someone to come into your home and to light in your window Chanukah candles in your home. Now, by the way, when you don't make the bracha, if you do come across someone else who did light kehalocha, you make your mechuyev to make the second bracha, she'asa nisim lavoseinu bayomim mohim bazman. In the case of traveling, I don't know what you're going to do. Because in the airport, where are you going to see in the airport, and when you go on a plane, someone else's Chanukah candles, where you can have an opportunity? What?
Someone's office.
On the airplane, when you take off?
In the terminal,
if you can see, if you can see in the terminal, from a distance, someone who lit candles kehalocha, not someone who put a Chanukah candle next to the Kratzbuch tree. Someone who lit candles kehalacha, then you mechuyev to make the bracha she'asa nisim lavaseinu bayimim. If you're driving, you'll certainly have an, not certainly, no, I shouldn't say that. Let's say you're driving during the...
Sure, you walk
If you have the ability to see someone's Chanukah kiddush, then even though you didn't, someone lit on your behalf, you mechuyev to make the bracha with the shame of malchus she'asa nisan lavasein by imim mazon hazeh. Okay, rabbis, have a wonderful day. Thank you for coming. Amen. Yehesh Shmei Rab Ram Barach. Amen.